You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three.
Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes in, touches.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Basita, a.k.a. James from Newbridge. You may know me as the founder of NBA Injury Report on Twitter, and this is episode 292. On today's sode, I had the pleasure of being joined by Tom Sharpling, host of The Best Show. It was originally a fantastic radio show that ran on WFMU for many years, and now it's a fantastic podcast. It's not about sports, so some of you guys might not know who he is if you're, you know, got your head all the way up your sports-loving butt. No offense if that's the only thing you're into. Just, yeah, I don't know, branch out a little bit. That's all I'm saying. There's a whole big world out there. But if you haven't listened to The Best Show, I highly recommend it. If you have listened to The Best Show, you know what a treat it was for me to be joined by Tom. He's also a lifelong Knicks fan and a former basketball writer. So we're going to have some fun talking about the Knicks, Billy Joel, Billy Crystal maybe, maybe what Tom ate after Game 7 in 1994. Was it Indian food? Was it pizza? You're going to have to listen to find out. All right, let's start the show. Hit it, Mark!
Yes!
So I want to start by talking about your Knicks fan origin story, you know, as it were. Not to pump it up too much, but basically, you know, how'd you get caught up in this mess? Did a player suck you in? A specific team? Was it just growing up where you grew up? Like, how are you here now?
Yeah, it's kind of all of those things, I guess. It's like my parents were huge Knicks fans, and they got to see the two championships and be a part of that, and they would go to games, and yeah, so they saw all the good stuff in the 70s, and then I guess I inherited that, and yeah, I kind of didn't get super into basketball, like into following basketball until I guess late 80s, early 90s is when I started to actually care. So I got to be a little early. That's a good time to get into.
One of the best.
Yeah. I mean, especially the early to mid 90s. Like the 90s were great, I think, to be a Knicks fan. And my favorite player was John Starks, and I was just, he was just, I was obsessed with him. Well, not obsessed. That makes it sound like
healthily obsessed.
Yes, exactly.
But so you are a big time Starks guy. Is it the lunch pail mentality?
Yeah, I think it's that he was just this guy who should not have been there, and kind of by force of will made himself literally into an all-star, and it was a testament to just determination and just not taking no for an answer. He was a starting guard on a team that was in the playoffs every year.
Does like the memory of Game 7, does that like, do you have a specific one of it? Like for me, I, you know, it was devastating at the time, but it's kind of receded in memory, and I can't even really remember specifically like where I was. I mean, I'm a little bit younger than you, so I don't know if like that might factor into it.
Oh, I completely remember.
What were you doing?
It's just like I thought they were going to win Game 6 when that shot, they like Olajuwon blocked a jumper, like a was it a three, I think, and then he just got a fingertip on something, and it's like if that would have gone down, it would have been over. And I just was not sure what Game 7 was going to be. And then I had this bad feeling because the Knicks and the New York Rangers, the hockey team, were in the making championship runs at the same time.
The title town headlines in the papers.
Yes, exactly. But I don't think anybody, and I don't think any city has ever had the basketball and hockey team win in the same year. Mm-hmm. And then when the Rangers won, I was like, this is bad for the Knicks. Cities don't have both win.
Uh-huh.
To win a championship within 2 weeks, two championships in 2 weeks is just like, I just thought statistically that was bad. But then it all just came down to they just didn't win, and the shots were not going down. And I remember taking it so hard for like about an hour, and then I went to a diner by myself, and I just sat there and I just said to myself, "This is something I had no control over. I was a spectator to it. I can never give that this much emotional. I can't hand my entire life over to something that I have no control over like that ever again.
No, for sure.
To where it's literally upset. So it was a good moment because I got things in perspective after that. And then,
did your diner order help you do that? Where you're like, man, these are some good mozzarella sticks.
Whatever. Like, the tuna melt I got, I'm sure, did not hurt me at that point. But
that's my girlfriend's favorite diner food, so she'll be happy to hear you say that.
Yeah, I don't think I can eat it anymore, though. I'm having a hard time. I haven't had one in a while. When I had one, the last time I had one, I was just like, yeah, I think I might be, this chapter might have closed in my life. I don't know. There's something.
It's the tuna, I mean, I'm assuming, right?
I think it's the warm tuna and the yellow cheese, and it just was like
that warm gelatinous mountain.
I can't do it. Yeah, so I think I might be done with tuna melts forever.
You are now listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily sports podcast network in the entire multiverse. So obviously fandom is something that, you know, is a little bit irrational, as you just pointed out. Are you passing any of that on to your dog, Gooden Poochie? Like, do you have Knicks-themed, what would you call them? Things you tie around their neck? Or are you letting her make, is it her? She or she?
She, yeah.
Is she making her own choice there?
I'm not gonna inflict that agony on my dog's already been through enough being a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Dog, I'm not going to continue the misery for her. Enough's enough.
I adopted a rescue in September, and she's like the sweetest thing in the world. The one thing is she's older. She's like, well, not super old, but like around two and a half. But she's peeing indoors, like still.
Mm.
Are you dealing with that at all? I was wondering if you had any sage advice for me.
Oh, this dog came out ready to, this dog was perfect. We got her out of the shelter and she was just like, she had like, we start finding out that she can do tricks and things like catch food. You throw it from a distance and she catches it. It's just like, yeah, we just don't have the owner's manual on this dog is all it is. Like she was like a pretty fancy model that we just don't have the instructions for. We find things out a little bit here and there, but she's okay. I think is that a territory thing or a nerve thing, a nervous thing?
We think she's like a separation anxiety, basically. I mean, because when we're home, it's just like, please cuddle me, like hold me in your arms. It's that kind of vibe.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
we're working on it.
I know some people are big on like crate training.
Yeah.
Or things like that, that the dogs don't mind it. And We have one. I don't send the dog into it, but she likes to go into it once in a while when she wants to just be like alone. She'll go in there. Yeah, but
that's all right. Didn't mean to put you on the spot for a dog advice. It's not your first job, but I want to talk about something that's Knicks adjacent. So obviously, the Knicks play in Madison Square Garden, like you already mentioned. It's home to the Rangers. It's also home to many concert performances. So there's a lot of Knicks and Rangers numbers hanging in the rafters. But among those, you also have Billy Joel.
Yes.
I looked it up because they hung a sign for him up in the rafters with the number 12 when he had 12 consecutive sold-out shows in 2006, smashing Bruce Springsteen's previous record. And then I was like, I wonder if they updated that. And it turns out that I came across this article from March of this year. And the quote is, in addition to having the longest run of concerts in the arena's history, Joel has performed at the Garden more than any other artist in history. Both feats are commemorated each month with new banners raised to the rafters. So my question is, do you think the Knicks are doing enough, or the MSG, are they doing enough to honor Billy Joel? Could they go even farther, you know, to make sure we all know how important he is?
So, because he does this residency now where once a month, so it's like once a month, Billy Joel makes $400,000. Like, he leaves, he goes and plays some hits, and it just drives down the whatever road, Jericho Turn. I don't even know what road you go from Long Island to. I guess, like, you must probably take the Kosciuszko Bridge, which is just a name I know. I don't even, not exactly sure where that is. But so he just drives into Manhattan and then plays hits. They probably leave their equipment there every month. They probably just and then he leaves with, $400,000. And it's like the greatest deal in history that what this guy's got.
It's like Ocean's 11, only no one cares. They're like, yeah, come in.
Yeah, there's no robbery. They're just saying, take the big pile of money. It's all yours. No, it's horrifying. And it's completely, it's like his music. Oh, it's just, I know people like his music, and it's just like, this song. It's like, if you hear things enough, they're all good. Then you start to just assume it has to be good, because it's like, I've heard this 10,000 times. It must be good. It's like, no, you just heard it 10,000 times.
I mean, I totally relate to that, because I did a podcast a couple podcasts ago at this point where, I was reviewing albums, among other things. And I would listen to these albums, and I'd listen to them 3-4 times, maybe more, like get a handle on them. And by the end, I was like, do I like this? I don't even know. Is it just familiar to me? Like, I'm kind of tapping my toe a little bit.
Oh, it is.
It gets it.
You just know what's happening on it. And you don't necessarily, it doesn't mean you like all of it. You might just be familiar with all of it. It's like there's songs I'm sure you hear and you're just like, I don't think I like that song if you think about it. But then you're just like, maybe I do like it. I know all the words. It's like, I don't know. It's like, I guess if people are having a good time seeing Billy Joel once a month, it's hard to begrudge it.
Sure.
But it's like, but it also isn't hard. It's not that hard to begrudge it, because it's just like, it's also like, I don't know. It seems like literally the laziest thing ever, if that's what you're going out to see. But people get older and they're just like, I'm going to see Billy Joel. I know everything that's going to happen. And it's, I know what I'm going to get. And it's like, I understand that, but...
So are you telling me that the hairs on the back of your neck don't stand up when he gets to the Brenda and Eddie section of Scenes from an Italian Restaurant?
I wouldn't know. I'm not there. I'm not going to see that. I would go. If somebody gave me a ticket to it, I would go.
Right. We might have to go, Tom, next month.
I'm not.
I bet he helicopters in. Like, I don't even think he's driving.
I bet you he rides his motorcycle in, actually. Oh, that God. He's such a motorcycle guy. he probably has some moment where he thinks it's just like it's cool to like to ride his bike in.
And I bet he wears the like gloves from the Glass House. Album. He takes them out of like a case.
Of course, no. He's got the Glass House's gloves. He puts because he's got to protect those fingers.
He's got to tickle the ivories, man. You know.
Yeah.
Are New Yorkers maybe a little overrated? If this is the guy who holds the record for consecutive sold out shows at MSG.
But what's a New Yorker even mean? It's like there's people who have grown up there that are like six generations in. Those are New Yorkers, but it's like they're all shoved out to the edges of everything now. And it's like New Yorkers is just whoever has the most money at this point. It's like that's a new – you like buy your way into being called a New Yorker now.
It is depressing. If you had to pick a Nick who you wanted to replace Billy Joel's banner with a Knicks banner, someone who doesn't have one right now, would it be Starks? Would it be someone else?
Yeah, it would probably be John Starks. I mean, he's going to be one of these guys. The first time I saw someone else wearing the number 3, I was like, well, that's off the table. That's not getting retired. Who was it? Stephon Marbury wore 3 after, I think, John Starks. So it's just that like...
Sounds right.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, well, that... I guess we know whose number's not getting retired. And it should. It's okay that it's not. It's like that would kind of... His whole thing is the whole point of that guy is not that you. It is really that he was just there and got to be a part of it. If they would go through the thing and retire his number, then they're going too far with it, and they're doing it when teams just retire guys who got to be a part of a good feeling.
Right.
Then that's wrong. It's like he was the act of becoming an NBA player. For that guy, was the victory.
That's the thing. Yeah, I hear you. So the Knicks have a couple of young guys that they're trying to develop, and Kristaps and Frank, but they have no one to lead them right now. Obviously, they're on a coaching search. Do you have any thoughts on who you want them to get? You got any horse in this race?
I think I have a feeling. I hope they would get Fizdale. Would be great.
You like Fizdale? Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought he got jobbed in Memphis, by Marc Gasol. I do like him and but it's like they're gonna end up with like Mark Jackson.
That's so depressing.
The worst. It's just there's no way they don't end up with. I can't say there's no way, because who knows? But it just feels like the most Knicks thing that could happen would be Mark Jackson.
Oh God. I mean, you're definitely right. At first, I was just like, oh, they're giving him an interview, just for the they want it to look good. So many Knicks fans like Mark Jackson. Like, why? I can't figure it out.
Why? He was just such a... I always thought he was a bum. I never liked Mark Jackson. I hated him on the Pacers.
Yep.
And he just, like... He was just one of these guys. He's also one of these guys. He did that stupid... He was taunting people with the airplane and with the X and stuff. And then now he's going to tell everybody how the right way to play the game was. It's like he was a jerk when he played. Right. Now he's going to say he's going to talk about people's behavior.
I mean, yeah, he's been demonstrably a jerk for as long as he's been in the public eye. And it's just, I don't care if he's the best coach in the world, which I think it's fair to say he's not.
He's not. But, and I think the funniest thing is, and it's like when he has to go announce, when he has to do Warriors games, and he's just like, he was just like 1 inch away from where like this being able to coach this championship team, and he was just he made sure he didn't get that job. They got rid of him because it was him, not because they could go get some huge coach. It's like they got a first-time coach. They replaced him with a first-time coach.
Yeah, and he was their hire. Like, they didn't want to fire him, you know? I mean, like, it wasn't some management change. That group went in there, hired him, and then he showed himself to be who he is.
Yeah, and they're just like, we need to get this dude out of here. He's creeping everyone out.
And the things that he did, like the things that he was rumored to do and reported to do, are so Knicks-y. Like, they would fit in perfectly in a lot of ways, just like building these like small factions that war against each other, and
hitting players against players and being paranoid about assistant coaches and all of the stuff. It is just I'm amazed he isn't already their coach. That the more we talk about these things, I'm shocked that they're still leaving him on the market like this, and they haven't just paid him twice what they should also pay him. That's the other thing they're going to do. They're going to overpay for him. No one wants this guy, but they're going to overpay for him.
6-year contract, then they'll fire him 2 years into it.
And yep.
I have to, as someone who, you know, I'm doing this podcast like 5 days a week, less during the off season, but like I have to give myself a certain amount of optimism that hasn't been earned just to make it through the day. So I'm holding out hope that these guys will see through him, but
no, it's gonna, it's bad. And I think it's going to be bad forever. I think it's literally forever. It's gonna be bad. I can't see any version of anything where the Knicks become good ever again. And I think there must be some plague that was put upon them that, I guess it started when they traded, when they dumped Ewing.
Yeah.
It seems like it truly, and then it just became that parade of where it's funny that certain people were Knicks at a point where you're just like, Glenn Rice. Tracy McGrady.
And then he had one game where he scored like 20 points in the first week, and all the people who probably want Mark Jackson to be coach were like, T-Mac's back!
And that's the other thing about Knicks fans. It's like, there's no group of people who overstate anything quicker than Knicks fans. They're even quicker than like Philadelphia sports fans, who will just be like, the Eagles finally won, but every year the Eagles would be like 1-0, and they'd be like, here we go, Super Bowl time, look out. Mm. It's like, it's September, like you guys need to. But Knicks fans are always like, if one person blows up one night, they're just like, this is the guy, like this is the guy, and he's got, it's like.
Like Amon Shumpert.
Yeah, like Shumpert or like Kyle O'Quinn will have like a big night early, and people were just like, this guy, he's just like Oakley, it's a London hard hat, Lonsdale guy. It's like, and then the next night he gets 1 point and 2 rebounds.
I think he's an okay backup, but I do hear you.
No, I like Kyle O'Quinn too, but it's the overstating of who. That guy's not the savior for the team, but people talk about any of these guys as if this is it now. Like, we got our savior has shown up, and the thing is, like, Porzingis is that,
yeah.
Except now it's becoming apparent he's made out of balsa wood, and might not. Who that a 7'3" guy that weighs 105 pounds would have physical challenges out on the floor?
Well, here's the good news, Tom. We live in a country with, you know, the best healthcare in the world because you know we have rich people who pay for poor people to not get it, so they can, you know, we can create new ACL treatments that have never been seen before because of our wonderful healthcare system.
Sure, yeah. So he'll. I thought the funniest thing was when Phil Jackson was like, who I will say, I'm happy to say, I was so down on him coming to the Knicks. I was horrified that he came to the Knicks. I knew I was going to, I think he's the biggest fraud in the history of the NBA. And it was like, this guy is going to be unmasked when he comes here. And he was, I was shown to be 100% right on it. I'm happy that I called it as early as you could call it on that. Because other people were just like, he'll show the, he'll teach these guys how to win and do the things. Like, what did this guy know about? What does this guy know about winning? The worst team he ever coached only had Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol on it. That's the worst team he. That's the worst team he coached was like those two guys to a champ. The worst championship team he had was that.
I was. I mean, I remember hating him growing up, but I was kind of shocked. I don't know if it was age or what, but just how like stunningly inarticulate he was with his time with the Knicks.
He was not interested in being there. They only got him because they didn't. Dolan did not want people protesting outside the Garden, like saying "get rid of Dolan." So he quickly hired a fan favorite. But if you listen to sports radio. When they got that guy, people were talking as if like he was going to be down on the floor showing, teaching Carmelo Anthony like about being a winner and how to like finally win. And it's like, you know how Carmelo Anthony is like, you know how I can win is if there's other players here that I don't have to be responsible for 70% of the offense on the team every night. It's like, that's probably how we can start winning is – if there were other players on the team that are talented.
And then Mark Jackson goes, yeah, I hear you. Here's a 100-year-old Joakim Noah and 4 knee surgeries, Derrick Rose. Go get it.
And the thing with that team is that team should have at least been fun. It should have been fun. I thought they were like the Suicide Squad in a way where they just got these losers who like, you looked at this lineup and it's just like, they all very well could have been like, yeah, there's chips in the back of our necks and they'll detonate our heads if we, like, they'll do, like,
if we shoot any threes.
Yeah, but it was like, to have, like, Melo and Porzingis and Noah and Derrick Rose and then Courtney Lee, it was like, this team's nuts. This could be fun. And it wasn't even fun. Which is like the worst.
You didn't have fun when Derrick Rose just disappeared for like 2 days and didn't tell anyone? Yeah.
No, but I do remember when he did that when he was on Cleveland. It was just like, yeah, I think he does that every year, guys. You might want to you might want to look. He did it last year also. He just leaves at a point. Oh my God. Yeah, the thing is that yeah, Phil Jackson was a complete disgrace, but there was a point when he was like, when he was mad at Porzingis, and then he was, like, threatening to trade him.
Yeah.
Like, he was going to punish him. Like, it's like, no, don't you realize he's being punished right now, currently? He's on the Knicks. Like, this is the like, where are you going to trade him that's worse than this?
But like, people still will, you know, like, Phil Jackson stands will still be like, oh, but that was him, you know, he's using his mind games on Porzingis. He was never serious about it. He just wanted to teach him a lesson.
What lesson are you getting? And Phil Jackson's the biggest hypocrite. It's like, he acts like some high-minded guy. He had no problem. He wrote this book, this tell-all book, where he ripped, he ripped Kobe and everybody. And then he went back and coached them again. And it's like, everybody let it. If a player would have done that, it would have been the biggest controversy that a player wrote a book where he ripped everybody he worked with and then had the nerve to go back and play with the same people. But because he did it, it was like everybody let it slide for who knows why. Like he should have been hammered for that.
I think it traces back to this like fake hippie Grateful Dead thing. It's like, yeah, we smoke pot and take acid and we're also a billion-dollar enterprise.
Yeah, he's one of these when they were just like, I'm coming out of the 70s, I was a free spirit then, but now I'm business and like I wear a suit, but don't worry, I'm still a free spirit underneath this suit. And it's like, oh, it's gonna get
worse. and my $12 million a year contract for not going on the road. And
I give people books to read. I recommend books. Imagine you're a you're a 24-year-old player, and you're like, and then this 75-year-old guy's just like, read this book on it. It's like, what?
And I forget who it was. He gave someone like, it wasn't One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, but it was like some, he gave someone like a children's book once.
I'll read the book. Who is that guy again? Like, it's because it's like,
he hands someone just Go Dog Go, and he's like, you'll see what it's all about.
Yeah, his book pile's getting like, he's just grabbing whatever's around his office. And he's like, I guess I'll give this to Raymond Felton or whoever can read. He was gone by then. Felton.
Yeah, I'll give Tyson Chandler Freakonomics, and then we're going to win the championship.
Look, they're going to be bad forever. You will be. You need to wrap your head around this. They are. It's never going to get good.
In case you forgot what you're listening to, I'm here to remind you, it's Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, consider heading over to iTunes and rating us 5 stars and leaving a couple-sentence review. I'd like to know what you guys have to say about the show. Once again, that's Locked On Knicks. So looking back to something, a time when it was better, I got a who-you-got kind of question for you. So I'm wondering, what's the more legendary performance of 1970? First choice, the Knicks winning their first championship against the Lakers in a hotly contested 7-game series. Or second choice, Led Zeppelin tearing the roof off of Royal Albert Hall as immortalized in the 2003 DVD release Led Zeppelin. You know, the one with like the plateau and the desert scene on the cover? Yeah, I figured you would.
Who's the who would I take? I would take the Knicks on that. The Knicks. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not, look, if John Bonham would have gotten injured and then come back out, like heroically walked out and then started playing
with one arm.
Yeah, started playing with one arm. I'd be like, okay, well then I'll consider that. Led Zeppelin were at full health that night. I'm giving it. And also, that whole thing was about Walt Frazier. That's also the biggest...
True.
Walt Frazier had like 36 points that night.
And like 18 assists, I think.
Yeah, it was like the greatest line you could ever have. Willis Reed had 4 points. He played 6 minutes. And then just like... But it was like, he was inspired. It's like, yeah, but then Walt Frazier actually did it. Like, he just crushed them.
Oh my God, yeah. I feel like John Paul Jones is maybe the Walt Frazier of Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Right? I mean, does it all. Steps up when he needs to,
but
isn't obsessed with, you know, grabbing that spotlight for himself.
Yes, he's cool. He doesn't need to draw attention to himself, but he's the one keeping the whole thing going.
Yeah. Now, before I let you go, I know that you are world famous for your impressions.
Oh, please. It's legendary.
Yeah. I mean, that's selling it short, I think. So I'm wondering, do you know the Friday Night Knicks theme song? Are you familiar?
Is that the boom, 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 boom?
Yeah. Written by Robert Randolph.
Okay.
And I don't know how much the family band was involved, but I know Robert Randolph was. And I'm wondering, and I could like feed you some lines. You don't have to do this, but I feel like this song, I would love to hear it maybe like a verse as performed by maybe like, I don't know, Rick Danko or perhaps a Jonathan.
How does it go? I can't remember the words to the thing. I hate that song.
What if I sang you a verse straight first?
Sure, you sing that and I'll see if I can hang with this.
Okay, all right. I've got an alternate if you, okay. All right, so it's, don't mind riding the bus. Don't mind taking the train. Don't mind wearing walking shoes, running through the rain.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. I want to. I don't want to go within 100 miles. That's Friday, because it's also like at this point, it's like a threat. Friday Night Knicks. It's just like Well, I guess I don't have anything better to do Friday night. Friday night Knicks. It's such a, like it's like a like a like a prison sentence.
I gotta get. So you don't have to get there fast as you can. You don't have to get there Friday night Knicks. You're a fan.
You get there because apparently you don't have as many friends as you thought. It's so. I am so colossally depressed by this team now that. Yeah, I just they have actively taken away any enthusiasm I have for them. They do it. I don't do it. I show up ready to care, and then they just actively work to disprove why you should care.
It's true.
It's like a concerted effort to make you feel like you've made a wrong choice early in your life, and it's a choice that is you can't because you could start to like be like, oh, I like watching this other team, I like watching OKC, or I like watching whoever, but it's like all the way down underneath all the hard wiring is still this thing. It's just like, yeah, you root firstly for the Knicks, and it's like that's what they're abusing, that.
Yeah, I've taken up Portland as my like secondary team. I really liked them when they had the Lillard and Aldridge and Wes Matthews and Batum, and they felt like a team that just had like a 1-5 that made sense.
Yeah, sure.
But even that this year now they're down 0-2 to the Pelicans. I'm just like, man, I got nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
I wish Boogie Cousins was there for that, because then that would be, yeah, he's one of my favorite players. I was hoping so. Look, him on the Knicks would be a bad fit because I wanted to see him go to the I wanted to see him go to Cleveland and be with LeBron. I thought that would have been the greatest thing to see, because then Cousins would have like shut everybody up with who everybody says he's like a malcontent and everything. Suddenly this guy would have been like, oh, he averaged 30 and 20. And because LeBron would just feed him all night long. Mm-hmm. It would just be like, but and then he got hurt. I was bummed by that. So, what's the other thing you have? I'm shooting your Friday night Knicks.
That's fine. I came prepared. I think we can handle this. I'm wondering if we can have, like the Saturday Night Live announcer, maybe introduce Frank Ntilikina.
So you're talking like Don Pardo?
Don Pardo, yes.
Don Pardo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is he hosting the show?
I think Frank Ntilikina is hosting Saturday Night Live in this scenario, yes.
Okay. So it'd be like, Frank, like musical guest. Like, who would be the musical?
Billy
the
Joel, probably.
Well, let's figure a different. What if the musical guest, what if it's
Chain Smokers, Imagine Dragons, someone like terrible.
Yeah, no, but what if it's like Wayman Tisdale's dead, so it can't be him. He's dead, right? Wayman Tisdale?
I believe so.
I think he's dead. But he was like a jazz bassist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I guess it would be like, musical guest, Damian Lillard. And your host, Frank Ntilikina.
That was perfect.
I mean, Lillard raps, right? You know
yes,
that.
Yes, he does. Uh-huh.
I DM'd with him at one point. Because his favorite TV show is Monk, which I wrote on.
Oh, yeah, and I heard you talking about that, I think.
People were like, I was off Twitter at that point, and I was like, I'm never going back to Twitter. I'm done with this forever. And then people were like, I think you need to go back. Damian Lillard's on there talking about Monk right now.
Uh-huh.
So I was just like, fine, let me log back in. And then I wrote to him, I was like, hey, I wrote 25 episodes a month or 20, what I co-wrote 20, like something episodes. And then he said, Monk is my all-time favorite TV show. and then did an emoji of like a a muscle, like a black arm doing like a flexing.
Uh-huh.
I was just like, this is the greatest thing I ever saw in my life. This like this guy. And another, someone else really likes Monk. I mean, I know Mary J. Blige really liked Monk, which was
really
Yeah. Back, I know that was when the show was on. Man, somebody, there was like another player who I can't. I had a thing. I can't even talk about it. Like I said to I did a thing with Kevin Garnett. I directed a commercial with Kevin Garnett, and then he said, I told him I worked on Monk, and he said that was one of his favorite shows. So.
He's one of my, you know, caveat, like this is basketball or whatever, but he's one of my all-time most hated players. Was he a decent dude to work with, just one-on-one?
The greatest.
Yeah? You know, I hate that.
He was a player I had such a hard time with also. He was the absolute greatest guy to work with. Super cool and funny and on point and just ready to go and
when you, deliver when
all
you, sorry,
the greatest.
When you saw him, did he have his hoodie like duct taped to his head like he's been doing?
I was 6 inches from the hoodie. I saw the hoodie in action. Yes, I have firsthand experience with the hoodie, and so, I'm telling you, you might have hated him as a player. That guy is a nice guy.
That's killing me inside. Tell me Reggie Miller is not a nice guy, because you did a piece on him too, right?
The Reggie Miller, he is one of the few people who, when I saw him again, remembered my name and was very nice. Nicest. The two nicest guys are the guys who drove me nuts more than anybody on the court. KG and Reggie Miller, two super nice guys.
That's horrifying to me.
Yeah.
MJ's still a monster, though, right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that guy. I wouldn't want to know that guy. That's a guy. It's like I saw him once in the hall because when I would write for basketball magazines, I saw. But you'd be back like near the at the locker room and everything, and I saw him one night. He was in the building. This is before he was a team owner. Mm-hmm. It's just when he was out of the league, but was just this like this legend who. It was like a thing that he was at Madison Square Garden, and he was in the hallway, and he walked by, and it's like, oh my god, that's crazy. It's just like crazy seeing him, and just everybody just staring at him, like.
Was he wearing an ill-fitting suit or jeans?
He was wearing a slightly ill-fitting suit, which is the I guess when you get to a position of power, your suits, you can pull off suits that don't fit well. Is that a thing?
I don't know. He wasn't full talking heads though. He wasn't like.
No, he was not swimming in the suit. It was not. There was not room for a second person in there.
He wasn't smuggling Mark Jackson in there. He's got some ill-fitting suits, too. Phil Jackson. He's got some really bad suits.
Yeah, his suits, Phil Jackson's suits look. The other guy's suits look like they're expensive and poorly tailored. Phil Jackson looks like his suits look cheap. Like he's. He's at Madison Square Garden. It looks like he should be in Penn Station taking the train back home. He looks like a frustrated businessman who just had a hard day at the office and is commuting back to New Jersey.
And he's got his Bud Light tall boy in a brown paper bag. Maybe a couple of them.
He buys a Bud Lime down on the platform. Yeah. So
those bags of popcorn,
those down when they sell them down on the.
Still do that? I remember that growing up as a kid.
Down on the tracks, you can still go if you're going back during rush hour. There's still just a guy with a giant tub of ice with Bud Limes in them. That looks official. It's not like he's sneaking around.
He's not like the guys who walk down the beach at like Coney Island selling.
He's not hiding them from anybody. He's actively, there's an active sign that says Bud Light on it that he's in front of. Yeah, Penn Station. It's that's Phil Jackson. He looks like his suits always look cheap. He's a bum. That guy's a bum.
Speaking of bums, is there a worse celebrity fan in all of sports than Billy Crystal, Clippers super fan?
He gets points for being on the Clippers bandwagon the whole time. But although it feels like for him, he knew if he showed up at Lakers games, he'd be like the fourth person they'd show at the thing. If I go to Clippers games, I'll be the first one. It feels like a calculated move
right.
to make.
Maybe. Do you think he got into basketball when he was, you know, getting deep in the research for his Jazzman character? And he was like, yeah, basketball. It's the jazz of sports. I get it.
He's one of these guys, and it's so gross. There's this gross version of people from New York that they – and Noah Baumbach portrays them in his movies very well, where it's these guys who just talk about the Knicks, and they talk about them as if like they are like the owners of the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Like, what did the Knicks do tonight? What's going on with the Knicks? And it's like, it's such a New York thing. The way there's a certain type of just like intellectual, entertainer type that, so somebody in the arts who would just be like, no, I like boxing and I like the Knicks and
right.
stuff. It's almost racist. it's like low level racism.
But it's like, right.
Like it's like thoughtless.
They wear it as this badge of honor that they're willing to like dip down into something so primal and beastly, right?
There's a thing. I think that's the worst version of what's running underneath it. I will hope that that's not where they are with that, but I think for the worst people, that's where that is. But that's a New York type that I feel like Billy Crystal comes at basketball from that angle of just like, and the jazz thing, his uncle ran like a jazz label and was ripping guys off.
Oh, is that true? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so I'm sure that was his family has a history of ripping off.
Comes from a long line of appropriation without respect.
Yeah, you said it. I didn't say it. I might have to work with this guy. I'll end up like, yeah, the three greatest guys were Reggie Miller, Kevin Garnett, and Billy Crystal. But it's like, what? I'm not.
I think that's a fitting place to wrap up the show, Tom.
That sounds good. Yeah, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing it. Do you have anything? I mean, we might not have the listenership that Best Show has. Probably not. But is there anything you want to promote other than Best Show, Meet My Friends, The Friends, both wonderful?
Thank you. That's it. It's just we do the Best Show every Tuesday night, and you should come listen. And if you don't know what it is, then there's little short versions of it called Best Show Best, which are little greatest hits things. You can check it out in smaller sized samplings. And yes, that's all. And thanks for having me on.
Oh my goodness. That was such a delight for me. I don't want to be like a fanboy about it, but I've been a fan of the Best Show for so many years. Tom is just one of the funniest guys going. And I hope you guys enjoyed our chitter-chatter. It was a little bit outside the huge, you know, for this time of year. When it's just hot stove and what did the Knicks do? We're great in players. Who should they get? But sometimes I like to take a little bit of a step back and just, you know, shoot the shit. You know what I'm saying? But I hope you guys, I really do hope that you enjoyed today's show. I had so much fun recording it. If you got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks, if you haven't already. And I mean it, just, you know, walk down the street, say hello to everyone you meet, when you pick up your dry cleaner. tell them about Locked On Knicks. They're probably not going to listen to it, but you never know. You know? You go to, like, the fancy coffee shop, you know, with, like, the organic shit. It's really good, but it's, like, a little expensive, too. But it's really good ultimately.